Do you know what I love about this place? Is that, you all right? Mile?
Yeah.
Look at that. What I love about this place is that when people come to the well, you know, we've got a lot of hurting people. We've picked people up as we've gone along. But the one thing that people say about us is that people really do love each other here. And we can see that. You know, when I come here, I experience exactly the same thing, that you guys really do love each other. And I just want to say well done. You know, if you get nothing else but that, that's worth coming for, isn't it? Yeah. Just that love. So well done. Before I start, just want to say that in prayer this morning that God was speaking to me, and there is someone here that has got memory loss.
You can't remember who.
And it's starting to affect you, where you feel you might lose your job if that's you come up at the end. I do encourage people to come at the end for prayer, because you know, everything we do here and at the well is to impact your heart and your life, not head knowledge, but to transform you. And if God speaks to you at all about something, it's because his power's here, particularly at the end with these guys. Through people God does it, he will bless you and transform your heart. So respond to these words. Respond to anything that God is saying to you individually by coming forward in prayer. Just encourage you in that. Someone else has got an irritation in the gut. Don't know what that is, but if that's you, come forward. God wants to give that miracle to you today. And someone, you've got pain in your hands or one of your hands, and I think it might be arthritis, but God wants to heal you today. If that's you, come forward at the end. Okay, we ready to go? Who's looking forward to this 40 days of prayer?
Yeah, come on.
Well, the actual book thing starts tomorrow, where you pray on your first day. And if you don't know, just have a look at the first day, and I guarantee it will grip you and you'll want to be in it for 40 days. It's going to be fantastic. So we're going to start 40 days of prayer. This is week one. And what this week is all about, it's a beginner's guide today, okay? What we're going to do today is set the foundations. It's the very basics, but the foundations of what is going to be a foundation for that you would come to pray from now on full of joy and actually looking forward to your time of prayer rather than thinking it's a bit of a chore. Hands up anyone who's ever thought that prayer is a chore before. Come on. I'm testing your honesty here, because, yeah. Because really, when we really grasp, and we will over these weeks, what prayer is, we should be running to pray, you know, not thinking, oh, not that, another thing to do. And so, first of all, let's kick it off. And so, first of all, God created us to pray. That's why we pray. He created human beings to pray. We're different from animals. Animals don't pray. And I was kind of thinking about that, probably because I had a bit more time than I should have done at Catalyst. I was thinking, imagine, right, if they did pray. Imagine a dog praying, saying like grace, okay? It kind of wouldn't happen, would it? Because as soon as, all right, put the paws together, you know, for what we are about to receive, why it wouldn't happen, right? Because who was expecting something deeply theological? Yeah, you're going to have, well, it is, isn't it? So, but as soon as you open, like, the dog food, right, the dog completely loses control of its bodily functions. It's like, food time, food time, food time. And then you put the food down, and immediately you've got to pull your hands away because the dog's in there, isn't it? So, and then I think it would actually do God's head in if dogs could pray. Do you know that? Why is that? Because they'll be going, I want a bone, I want a bone, I want a bone. Give me a bone, give me a bone. Any bone, just give me a bone. And it would be dangerous. You know why? Do you know why? Because there would be bones flying down from heaven, just like quail. And just so that you know how I think, and then I started to think about giraffes, all right? I hope you are taking your notes over here. So I did it, and I thought about giraffe. Now, they couldn't pray, could they? Because, I mean, they couldn't put their paws together, could they? They'd fall over, wouldn't they? So they'd have to do one of them religious prayers, you know, the old, oh, God, why did you give me such a long neck? That's what they were praying, weren't they? And spiders. Spiders would have something to say to God as well. Like, do I really have to eat flies all the time? So I can't believe that animals pray. But we do. And why is that? You haven't written one note down, Pete. What's going on, mate?
No, I have.
Oh, you have? Yeah.
Especially giraffes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there's a moral in that somewhere. I just haven't worked out where it is yet. Okay. But we do pray because we're made in the image of God. So within the Trinity, the Father's always chatted to the Son to the Father, the Spirit, and we enter into that. We are part of that now. We're in Him. Ecclesiastes 3:11. And some people at the back there think, oh, Tim's thinking, at last he's got in the Bible. Yeah, look, he's going, yeah, come on. That's it. Anyway, I'll finish there. It's all right, Tim. Yeah. So God planted eternity into our hearts. And that's what makes us human, that we do pray. It's part of, you know, God breathed His life into us, and we want to pray. We want to communicate with Him. And put very simply, that is what prayer is all about, you know, is communicating and talking to God, whether it's a big prayers, little prayers, loud prayers, things in our mind as we just, you know, like yeah, oh, yeah. Okay, there was a little prayer going up there, see? Anyone want to know what I just prayed there? Anyone want to know? Well, I'm not going to tell you. See, if I wanted to tell, I would have said it out loud, but that was a little quiet one, you see? But it's still a prayer. It's still a prayer. Any communication between us and God is a prayer. And so if we're created to pray, okay, if we're created to pray, then we're all good at it, yeah? The answer is actually not. Even St. Paul admitted that he was a novice at praying. It says in Romans 8:26 that we don't even know what we should be praying for or how we should pray. That was Paul, you know, probably apart from Jesus, the greatest guy of the Bible, wrote most of the New Testament. He said, we don't know how to pray. And then even the disciples needed help. They were out one day and they saw Jesus do all his stuff as he did. And they looked at him and they said, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? That's what they asked for. And that's interesting, right, because of this. Because they'd seen Jesus heal the sick. They'd seen Jesus walk on water. They'd seen Jesus calm the storm. Wouldn't anyone else in here like to calm a storm with a word? Especially when they're camping, like the other night. Yeah? But they would. And then casting out demons, people getting up that couldn't walk. They saw him do all that. But you know what? They never asked him, Jesus, teach us how to do miracles. They didn't. They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And that's because they knew the secret of Jesus' power to do miracles was in prayer. They'd seen him retreat away from them to be with the Father all night long sometimes, but he'd come out of prayer and then preach the kingdom, and they'd see all that happened through the kingdom coming. And so that was the secret of his ministry, and they needed help with that. So as far as I'm concerned, if the disciples and Paul needed help praying, it's okay for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so let's look at a few things first that prayer is not. And then we'll go into lay a few foundations. So first of all, prayer is not a magic wand for us. Yeah, it's not like a Harry Potter thing, you know, wave your wand and you get what you want, a bit like some churches teach. You know, it's almost like you've got God on the end of a string. No, a promise, pray it and you've got it. It's not kind of like that. It's a bit more, you know, it's not hey presto. And also, prayer is not an emergency pull cord, you know, that we wait until things have become a disaster and it's like, help! You know, we've all prayed them prayers, you know, but that isn't what our prayer life should be, just them. And then also, it's not a place to bargain with God. You know, okay, I will come to church every week. Like, I know you want me to, God. If you give me a big house, I double my money, give me a raise, give me a nice little BMW, and I'll come to church every week. It's not a place for that bargaining. And it's not a place to beg either. You know, please, God, please, 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 pretty please. That's not what it's all about. And prayer doesn't turn us into a parrot either, where we continually go over the same stuff. Matthew 6:7, Jesus said this, that when you pray, do not use meaningless repetition, thinking that you will be heard by your many words. Babbling, other translations calls it. Anyone in here want to be a babbler? Well, that's what they say you are. You know, scripture says if we do that, we don't want to do that. So what is it we do want to do? What's going to transform our prayer life so that we really see it as a joy? We really see the power of God coming and things transform in our lives. Six things, six foundations of a powerful, prayerful life. First of all, God wants prayers from our heart. He wants us to be real. He wants us to be honest. And he wants us to be truly ourselves. That's the key. You know, it's that whole identity stuff is so important. And it's okay to be you. It's good to be you. And so what God is interested in prayer, if you are interested in anything, God is interested in that. Not just churchy things, your gifts of the Spirit, all that kind of stuff. All that's great. But he's involved, he wants to know about everything going on in your life. He wants you to talk to him always about things. And so prayers from the heart is first and foremost. So what actually is in your heart? You know, what hobbies do you like? What sports do you like? What things do you like? What passions have you got in your heart? Because God created you and placed those interests in you. You liked them because he placed them in you to like them. It's what makes you you. And as you pray in line with that, the things that he's placed in you that you like, you are then on an adventure with him. You and God together, what a wonderful prayer life that is. You know that he's with you in everything you do because you're continually seeing answered prayer. If you pray according to how he has made you. And nothing is off limits. Absolutely nothing is off limits when you chat to God. It's not always the big things, anything. And so what it would look like is the things that in my heart are going to be quite different from what is in your heart. And so let's look perhaps at one or two things. You know, something that is in my heart that I might love that maybe one or two of you may not like. I'll try and choose something that's not going to cause too much of a stir. Let's choose camping, okay? I love camping. Can I hear a cheer from those who love it?
Come on!
And those who don't like it, a cheer from you. At least you're honest, guys. At least you're honest. Let me tell you, that night that there was a storm, and I've lived a few years, that is one of the worst of it. I'm laying there thinking, God, we've brought these people here. And you know what they think about camping. And there are some of them here that have really stretched themselves to do it, a bit like Pete. And I'm thinking, please give us good weather. First night, that storm's going off. And I'm thinking, oh, and I was praying, don't worry. And I know everyone else was praying that night as well. Interesting, just as a thought, when we got up the next day, nobody complained about it. You know what? It was actually fun. It was an experience to live through that. And no one died. There you go. Something that I really don't like, that maybe some of you do like, that won't cause too much of a stir. I cannot stand shopping. Oh my word. With me, I last about 5 minutes. I need to know what I'm going to get, where I'm going to get it. I go in, have a quick look. 5 minutes, if it's not there, I am out. Amazon is from God. I'm telling you, click, click, click. The next day it comes, it's like, ask and ye shall receive. It's all in the Bible. But some of you want to go out shopping. And it's like, man, let me tell you, you need to take Jesus with you, some of you. I'm telling you, when you're shopping, Debbie, I'm telling you now, if you put Debbie in the middle of a shopping centre with a credit card, anything can happen, okay? Anything can happen. And sometimes does. So if you know that you've just had a guilt thing come over you, right, that I know that I'm that person, you come and get prayer at the end, eh? No guilt in here, okay? But what I'm saying with that is this, right? If you're bored when you're praying, okay, if you, I just can't wait for this next 5 minutes to be done, it's because you're praying for things that you're not interested in. You're praying for things that God hasn't put in your heart. So really, you don't really want to know. The answer is stop praying. Not only are you bored, he's bored. It's like, that's not what I created you for. It's like, stop praying and have a little moment and think, what is it that gives me passion? What do I love? What has God placed in my heart? You know, snooker, I don't get that. You know, I just don't, you know. Rugby, it's a bit of a girl's game. Yeah. I don't get that. And cabbage, maybe not in that order. Actually, cabbage. Oh, man. So we're all different, but start praying about things that you don't like. And start praying about things that God has placed in your heart. Can you see how that would transform your prayer life? Yeah, immediately that one. I thought that. But this isn't my stuff. It's Rick Warren's, all right? I'll just throw that out there. I just did a bit. Anyway, number two. God wants us to be confident in prayer. Okay, he doesn't want us dithering. He doesn't want us approaching him thinking, I just don't know whether God hears me or whether he'd answer me. That isn't how he wants us approaching him. 1 John 5:14, Tim, we got another one here. Look at that. Are you right? Yeah, look at that. Another thumb. Come on. We can be confident in approaching God, knowing that he listens to us. If we pray according to his will, we know that he hears us. And we can be sure that he will answer us. And so when God asks us to come to him in prayer, it's without fear, it's without guilt, it's without shame. Jesus took anything we deserve of guilt, shame, punishment in his own body when he was on the cross. So when we approach him now, we approach him with his righteousness, that when God looks at us as we're approaching him in prayer, he sees us as though he's seeing his own son, Jesus. And he loves us to talk to him. He loves to be with us and listen to us and answer us because he is our loving father. And as a father loves it when his children come to him for advice or anything else, so God loves us going to him. It's out of relationship. Prayer is a relationship, not a formula and not a ritual to go through. So what about that little bit, according to his will? Okay. Well, relationship generally means that you know the other person to grow in relationship. And so if you want a better prayer life, it means you need to be in his word a bit more. Yeah. I know that for me, I started reading through the Bible once a year over 20 years ago. Now, it was hard at first. It was a lot to read and all that. But as the years have gone, it's not like I've read it before. I don't need to do that again. It amazes me how many non-Christians say stuff like, I've read the Bible. Yeah, all right, okay. But actually, my appreciation and looking forward to read the Bible has got better and better and better as the years go. I love that time with the Lord. And as we develop our word time, listening, finding out about God, his ways, who he is, we start to learn what God likes. And we start to learn what God hates. And then we start to love what God loves and hate what he hates. And we start to dream the dreams that he would dream. We start to have the desires and recognize the desires in us that he placed in us. And our life then starts to become at one with his will. It takes time, but I encourage us, get into the word so that we understand God more. Third, God loves prayers that are simple, not fancy. Matthew 6:5-8 says this, that when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Do not pray standing in the synagogues or at the end of the streets. They do it to be seen by men. When I was a non-Christian, we used to have this guy with a hat and the tassels. We used to pass him on the way to work, and he'd be standing there like that. Right, a few hours of work, come back, and he'd still be there like that. I thought he had a mental health issue, honestly. I didn't know what he was doing until I come to faith and realised what praying was all about. But God says, actually, people like that, you've already received your reward. That's fantastic. We're going to get rewards. That's amazing. We're not going into that today. But you've already received your reward. And what Jesus was saying to us is, don't show off. Don't try to impress other people by your big prayers. Don't pray giraffe prayers. You know, I was thinking about that earlier, you know, and that's really got me, you know what I mean? But so when I was in my first church, there was a guy called Andrew, right? And he went from a curate to being a pastor. And when you do that, you have to... Has anyone been in the Anglican church? If they're listening to this, I still love you, whatever, right? But they have to do... When they pass that test, they have to do that one that goes, oh Lord, open thou our lips and your mouth... Do you know that one? Anyone? Yeah, all right. Right, don't tell your Anglican friends, but he messed it up completely. And I sit there as a new Christian thinking, what on earth was that all about? You know what I mean? Is that how you pray? It isn't, you know, it's not. So don't show off. And as Rick Warren says, keep it simple. Longer doesn't mean stronger. And stay humble or you'll stumble. Has anyone in here elongated their prayer till they stumble? Come on, hands up if you have. I'm testing you. God, okay. Honesty. Come on. We've all done it. We've all done it. And it's just best not to learn that way. God says this, pray in private. Pray when you're on your own. Then your Father in heaven will hear you and he will reward you for that. Amen. Fourthly, God wants us to know that he is good by answering our prayer. He wants us to know that he is good. A.W. Tozer says this, that what comes into your mind when you pray about, when you think about God is the most important thing about us. So what do you think about when you think about God? He wants us to know that he is a good God. If we approach God nervous that you're having a bad day, or he's some kind of angry God, our prayers are going to look a little bit different than if we approach God knowing that he is a good God, that he's always in a good mood, that he always wants the best for us and will do the best for us and will answer our prayers the best for us, even if our answer is going to be no. So what God does, he loves to answer our prayers. How long have we got? How long have we got? Yeah, cool. Yeah. We're almost there, sorry. So he loves to answer our prayers as a way of showing that he's good. Quick example is this. Me and Debbie were going to come, we felt God calling us to church plant, okay? And to church plant. So we went on a 4-month sabbatical. We needed our house rented out so that we could afford to rent a house in Islington. And we had four people look at the house in that 4 months to rent it out. None of them wanted it. We got back at midnight after being away for 4 months. At 9 o'clock in the morning, I sat in my office and said, God, I've given me firm over to someone else. We've said goodbye to the family, the friends and everybody. It's a done deal, God, but we can't move if you don't get someone to move in the house. Can you please give us somebody? Within an hour, someone had phoned up. Oh, and I didn't say, and we realised that we needed a £5,000 deposit, which we didn't have because we'd spent all our money on a sabbatical. Within an hour, someone had phoned up, was interested. By lunchtime, they'd come round and shook me hand and said, can we, yes, we do want to take the place. And just as he was going, he turned round and said, oh, by the way, would you mind if we pay you 6 months up front because of some of that? And I went, let me think about that one. Yeah. So I'm going to try and motor through this, but it's a foundation. So give me 5 minutes extra, guys. So the four ways that God will answer you is yes, no, not yet, or you must be joking, okay? And Jeremiah 4:2 says this, that you don't have because you don't ask. So it's important that we do ask. But Jeremiah 33 says, look, call to me and I will answer you. Show me, because I will show you marvelous and wonderful things you could not figure out on your own. And so when we go into prayer, sometimes the answer is no, because we don't know the fullness. And there are marvellous and wonderful things waiting for you. I wonder what marvellous and wonderful thing you've got waiting for you that God wants to reveal to you that you could not figure out on your own. You can't see it. As we go into prayer, all of a sudden things change. We start to see like God sees. We start to understand on the bigger picture, not just the here and now, I want this, I want. But God will show you things and answer prayer for what's best for you, for your family, for now, and for the long haul. And so, encourage you with that one. Fifthly, motoring on, God loves to be close to us. I think this is the most dear one, you know, that he wants his presence known in prayer, that God has made your soul and my soul, that somehow he mingles with us, and we know that love that is in the Trinity all of a sudden lives in our hearts. It's there for us. And God made you to love you. And so if there's nothing else you do, the most important thing you will do in your life is to develop this closeness to him. Isaiah 38 says this, that the Lord waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and his compassion. He is our Father and wants us to go to him. Parents, I was talking to someone this week, the worst thing that can happen to a parent is when one of their children decides not to talk to them again. I spoke to someone like that this week. God is waiting to hear from you, and he wants to hear from, he's waiting now to hear from all of us. Hosea 6:6 says this, that don't wait, I don't want your sacrifices, I want your love. And in the Old Testament, people used to have to sacrifice for the things they've done wrong, and they thought that's what it was all about. God said, no, I want your love. And so what God is saying to us today, guys, is I love you, but over these 40 days, will you learn to love me back? Will you? Lastly, God wants us to pray as a friend. He wants us to be friends. John 15:15 says this, I don't call you servants, I call you friends, my friends. You see, a servant doesn't know what's going on and is just, they just do what they're told. But friends spend time together. They talk a lot. They do things together. They share what's going on. And this is, you know, the joy is when it goes well. If you haven't got a mate to celebrate with, what's the point? You know, and then when it goes down and it's hard, it's great to have someone to share with. And as we grow in prayer, we'll grow in friendship, and we'll get to know more about what's going on in life and particularly our own lives. If you look up Enoch in the Old Testament was God's mate, God's friend, and he prophesied right back then what will happen as Jesus returned. How did he know how to do that? Because God shared it with him as he becomes friends with him. Prayer develops a close friendship with God. Miss this and you'll miss the point of life. It takes time. Someone said, if you're too busy to pray, then you're too busy. So, one, pray prayers from the heart. What are you interested in? What has God placed in your heart? Second, be confident that God will hear and he will answer. Thirdly, keep it simple. Don't pray giraffe prayers. They don't work. Fourthly, God will show you and know that as you approach him, his love for you by answering your prayers. Take note of what you pray for and mark down when he answers it. And then fifthly, he wants to be close to you in prayer, to grow in intimacy, and he wants to be your mate. He wants to be your friend. James 4:8 says this, that draw close to God and God will draw close to you. Church, God is calling us to come to him and begin building this relationship with him in prayer that will last to all eternity. You up for that, church?
Yeah.
Let's stand. Yeah. Let's just pray. If we've got a bit of... thanks, Jerry, for that music. Does anyone want to receive a little bit more of Jesus today? Yeah, let's just raise our hands as... Let's come to him. Let's draw close to him to receive what he has got for us. Your heart, think of your heart, right? But just be selfish for the moment. You are important. He loves you more than anything else in the world, as if you are the only person ever created. He loves you. He loves you. God, would you send your spirit? Would you let your kingdom come? Go there. Where is it? Where are you hurting right now? Where is it? You know, one or two, you've got disappointments in the heart. Just need to let him know. That's what David did. Got it out of the heart. Pray it out. Tell him. Some of you are tired. Did you know there's power that comes in the presence, in that place? Power today for you. Fire for your bones. Some of you need strength. Spirit of God, will you come? Jesus, we thank you that through you we get to know the Father, and by the Spirit, you apply it to our lives today. Wonderful. You have never accepted Jesus in your heart before and you'd like to do it, you don't know this closeness, you know God but you didn't know he was intimate, come and we will pray with you at the end. If one of them words earlier was for you, come. Or if you've had a desire in your heart that you haven't yet even shared with God, come forward and let us pray for you. If you want more presence in your heart, come forward and we'll pray for you. God is honestly the best God ever. He is so, so good.
Yeah.
And he cannot wait
to
touch you and give you everything you need.
Yeah.
Today in this place, let's worship him and praise his name. Thank you, Lord.